You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, I appreciate you sticking around for another 20 minutes here, but we got a lot to talk about here. We kind of talked about it on Friday. We did a full preview on the afternoon show on Sportsnet Today. You can check that out wherever you get your podcast. We had a full two-hour show there as well. But UFC 300, we kind of previewed it a little bit before on Friday. We were expecting a lot from this card, and safe to say, I think it delivered. It was an awesome event, and awesome event on Vegas this Saturday.
Yeah, it's wild. It was one of the most hyped cards of all time, and it maybe over-delivered with what we got. Like the Max Holloway knockout, well, I'm sure we'll get into some specifics in a bit.
Yeah.
But the Max Holloway knockout is one of the greatest knockouts of all time.
It's crazy.
And it was something that we kind of said going in, is that there wasn't like the megastar on this one, like a Brock Lesnar or a GSP from 100 and 200, Anderson Silva, Daniel Cormier, that sort of a thing. The event was the star. And I think because of that, it now made a couple of stars. Like Max Holloway is a made man now. Yeah. Not that it, like,
he had anything to prove. Like you and right. I said before, like it almost felt like it win or lose for Holloway. His future still seems unclear, but now with the way that he just put an absolute exclamation point on what was already going to be a classic fight.
Yeah.
Like the amount of big fights that he has coming up is crazy.
Oh man. And like I tweeted out on Saturday night after the knockout, while we're all in just the bliss of seeing that amazing thing happen. It was like, give this man whatever he wants. If he calls out John Jones right now, it's like, yeah, you know what? 60 pounds difference, but I'm fine with it. Roll with it. Cause he was that good. And so I think he comes out of this an even bigger star, which is wild because he was a Hall of Famer before. I think Alex Pereira is now an even bigger star than he was coming into the event. So the event being the star, kind of to steal the pro wrestling term, kind of gave the rub to some of these other guys and elevated a number of fighters coming off of this performance.
Yeah, like that's the thing. You kind of just said there that maybe for the casual fan, it didn't have that absolute hook to grab you in or grab those casual fans in. They didn't have a Lesnar, McGregor, you know, Habib and all that. But with Pereira's performance or even Holloway's performance, I think both of those guys have easily become household names.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Everyone knows that. And it's with Pereira, it's the whole mystique around all of it, right? Like it's the entrance. His face doesn't change his expression. Then he does the bow and arrow thing. And he comes out and his expression doesn't move. And then how the fight goes, where he waves off the ref after getting kicked in the balls. And he comes out and then knocks the dude out. Didn't even hit him clean and knocked him out. Like it all has the makings of him being the next real mega, or one of the next real mega stars of the UFC.
Yeah, we'll touch on that main event in just a bit as well here. But I wanted to get to the fight that absolutely stole the show. The BMF title fight between Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje. To me, I really can't recall an instance in which Gaethje got pretty much absolutely outclassed the way that he did in that fight.
Yeah, and it's wild. Like, going into the fight, I thought Max is going to be able to kind of, like, volume his way to some points here. But Gaethje just hits too hard for Max to really end up winning this. He's going to have to fight perfect for 25 minutes. And the fight only went 24 minutes and 59 seconds.
Yeah.
But he was perfect the whole time. It was one of the best performances we've seen from him in a career filled with them. And it was interesting to watch them, because you look at the tail of the tape, they're both basically the same height, and the length is basically the same, or the reach, sorry, is basically the same as well, but it didn't look like it in the fight. And the way Holloway stands, uses his jab, and uses just the long straight punches, keeping Gaethje at distance, it never really let Gaethje get into any kind of rhythm. Mm-hmm. And he seemed off balance. And I think one of the real turning points of the fight was that spinning kick in the first round, where the heel ends up catching Gaethje like right on the nose, and it busts him up and it's bleeding everywhere. And this is
his
not
jaw was open for the rest of the fight after that.
Yeah, he said like, I can't, like it's jammed up there. I can't breathe. And this is not a question of anyone's toughness or anything. Justin Gaethje is a billion times tougher than I'll ever dream of being, but it did seem like that affected him. And he was much more concerned with covering up than he has been in the past. And so when you're putting your hands up to cover up a busted up nose, that leaves the body open. And Holloway exposed that. He was at his very best, and it didn't allow Gaethje to get into a rhythm, to really let loose with the power shots that you're used to seeing with him the fourth round, it started to come around a little bit, but overall, yeah, it was basically a shutout for Max Holloway.
Yeah, and you know, there's some other narratives going on with that. Like, you would have thought and maybe Gaethje would have looked like the bigger man in that. Like, I know that you said the tail of tapes are very similar, but the fact was that Max was going up in weight to take on this fight coming out of featherweight there. And really, I think that spin kick you just mentioned was the turning point in that fight as well, because Gaethje was trying to chop the leg for the first round there for a little bit. And then almost once he kind of couldn't get the timing of Max anymore because of that, he knew that threat was there again. It was super interesting that maybe he wasn't able to engage on that front leg a bit more, because we do know that Max does rely on that boxing style a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, heavy on that front leg, and so you can kind of pick that apart. And I wonder if Gaethje and his coach Trevor Whitman were expecting that to wear him down a little bit more, because he didn't go to it as much. You're right. It still looked gnarly by the end of it, and he just dealt with it, right? Like, he kind of powered through, and so you were kind of expecting maybe this will slow down, and it never did. And Holloway was good, like, literally beating him to the punch, so that the timing for Gaethje was off. He was never able to really get going with a lot of his power shots in there either, and it never really felt like a true Justin Gaethje fight until the last 10 seconds.
Yeah, exactly, and we'll touch on that knockout right now. To me, it felt like one of the more, like, instantly iconic knockouts I've ever seen within the UFC. Like, Max didn't need to point to the center of the ring. It was, like you said, it was basically a shutout in that fight as well. And, you know, it went all over social media immediately. It was almost reminiscent of McGregor on Aldo, with how crazy it blew up almost immediately.
Yeah, like, you are well aware that in this moment you are seeing something that's going to be remembered forever, right? Like, this is going to be any highlight pack that anyone makes of the UFC ever. This is going to be on it. The pointing down at the center, them just throwing absolute bombs. And he had nothing to gain from doing that. Like you said, like, you could generously give Gaethje a round in this fight. And that's it. So Holloway had this one. He had more right to run around the cage with his arms up in the air celebrating for the last 10 seconds than he did to do that. And then to have it go down, and then just out of a movie knockout, right? Like, if you saw that in a movie, you'd be like, okay,
dude,
we've gone a little overboard.
It literally looked like the same animation you'd see in the UFC video games.
100%.
Yeah. Like, snooze button, guy goes limp.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, down he goes, and it's just like, it really is just like a building collapsing, where it just, like, falls into itself.
Yeah.
And he bumps his head on his knee on the way down. It's one, like, when you consider the circumstances around it, where he's winning this fight, he's moving up in weight, as you mentioned, and it's kind of like, I don't think it's a must win, because, again, he is a Hall of Famer. But if he loses this fight, you're wondering...
I think there were more question marks about where does Holloway go after that fight if it was a loss than there was for Gaethje.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I don't think anything really hurts for Gaethje at 55.
Yeah.
He's still going to be a contender within that division. He's still, as you and I kind of mentioned on our preview show, even if he got the win there was still going to have to be some guys that he was going to have to hurdle within that division before he gets looked at a title shot again.
Yeah.
So with Max getting the win, it feels like there's much more opportunity for him getting a W than there ever was for Gaethje.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, and like Gaethje, he has a style that he's going to come out, fight someone, he'll Pez dispenser them, and that'll be, then all of a sudden he's back in the title picture, right? So for Holloway, it's such an important fight. He is going up in weight. He's winning it. And then he decides, oh yeah, I'll just, like, start throwing down. So I think when you put all of that into context, I do think it is the greatest knockout we've seen in the history of the UFC. Like, the other ones that you can think of just off the top of your head, it's Anderson's front kick on Vitor Belfort, because we just had never seen that before.
I mean, the Chandler one on Ferguson.
Yeah, the Chandler one on Ferguson is ridiculous. Like, that one, it's when you slow it down and you see every part of Ferguson's face shift into a different spot it wasn't before.
Adesanya getting his get back on Pereira's there, kind of thing.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Barboza with the spinning kick knockout of Emerson Edom, where he just stiffens up like a board. And Francis and Ganu, where it actually looked like he punched
Overeem's
head off. Yes. Masvidal on Askren as well. So there have been a lot. Like, it was UFC 300. They've had 700 events overall. You're going to have a lot of guys getting knocked out. But I think, given the circumstances around all of this, I think it's the greatest knockout of all time.
Last one on Max before we move on here. Holloway versus Topuria has to be the fight they make, right? But the other side of that thing is, like, does a win at 55 really merit Holloway getting a title shot at 45 and kind of leaping over some of the guys in the division, like Volkanovski, for example.
You sweet young lad. That merit has any... GSP won exactly zero fights at 185 pounds, yeah. Moved up and won the title. Conor McGregor's got title shots off of losses before.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yes. I would love for you to be right on this, where it's like, yeah, he needs to win at 145 pounds to qualify for the 145-pound championship. That has got exactly nothing to do with it.
Fair enough.
When you get to that level of stardom, and when you get to that level of a moment, I think you have to build off of it. And he does have a resume at 145 that speaks for itself as well. Like, he's not... If he was calling out someone at 170 for the championship up there, then I start to be like, okay, let's... maybe calm it down a little bit here. Yeah. But I do think because of the resume, he has 145 pounds. And because of what he did, he can call whatever shot he wants. And I think that is the fight you have to make now. And I think, like, soccer stadium in Spain, you know, mm-hmm. like, because Topuria, he is on the verge of being a superstar. And you see the reaction when he goes over to soccer games over there and the celebrations that they have. And Holloway is a megastar. And to that, it's a win-win. Either Holloway continues on this amazing run and continues to really grow as this like all-time fighter, he gets this win, adds to the resume, and there it goes. Or you have a star-making night for Topuria in his home country in front of like 150,000 people or something like that. So I think this is the part of the UFC merging with the WWE that the UFC can learn from,
yeah.
is that the WWE, coming off of WrestleMania, the two nights, WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia, they do big events better than anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where the UFC can learn from. Like, the Apex is a lifeless thing. So that's a little unfortunate that's still a thing that is going on. But the pay-per-views all kind of look and feel the same. So you can get this big event that looks and feels different and ends up making a star out of it. I think that's where the UFC can benefit from the WWE, and that's why I think you have to do this sort of a thing next.
Question on the text line here. Morning, guys. Quick question, seeing as you're talking MMA. Whatever happened to the Canadian Rory McDonald? Thanks. That's from Curtis in Monterey. Rory the Red King McDonald, I believe he moved on to Bellator after his stint in the UFC, correct? But now he's just a retired mixed martial artist enjoying retirement.
Yeah, he last fought in the PFL in 2022. He went to Bellator. He won the Bellator championship, I believe. He won the Bellator welterweight championship. The fight with Robbie Lawler, the one that's in the Hall of Fame now,
yeah.
I think forever altered him. You see the pictures of it. He looks like an actual zombie.
Yeah.
Where he is beaten up.
That's where he got the nickname Red King, right?
Yeah. And like his nose is busted open, so he can only breathe out of his mouth, which is permanently open because it feels like his jaw is broken. Robbie Lawler, no, and Rory's also missing a part of his lip, I think, or is Robbie's missing a part of his lip?
Yeah.
Either way, it was just an otherworldly beatdown, and after that, it forever altered him. And he is someone who had such a cerebral approach to the sport. But I think that also comes with the understanding of what you're doing to someone. And so I think because he went through that and had to deal with all of that, there was a bit of a mental load for him. Like, I'm doing this to other people. And so there was a bit of an unwillingness to really pull the trigger in that sort of a way again. And so I think he was someone incredibly talented. He felt like he was the next one. He was the real wave of fighters, because for a long time coming into the UFC, you were a boxer, or you were a wrestler, or you were a karate guy or whatever, and then you learned the other facets of mixed martial arts. Rory was one of the first groups that came in training mixed martial arts, training all the different facets, and so he was well-rounded coming in, and so you thought like, oh, this is the next one. But I do think that fight really changed the brain chemistry of this guy in like, what am I really doing in this sport?
We're talking some UFC here, UFC 300 here on hour four of the Big Show. Peter Klein sticking around with me for an extra couple minutes here. It's GVP along with you. Let's talk about this main event here. Alex Pereira is just an absolutely terrifying human, and I think Jamal Hill looked absolutely shook for that entire fight. What did you make of the main event and Pereira's dominant rise to the top? It's been an absolutely ridiculous run he's been on.
It's like nothing we've ever seen before. When you look at him coming into mixed martial arts, coming, like we just talk about guys who are specialists, coming from a kickboxing background to come in, beat Israel Adesanya to win the middleweight championship, lose to Israel Adesanya, and then come back in, move up in weight, go to 205 pounds, and win the championship there. He's now beat five former champions in 12 fights as a professional mixed martial artist. You and I were talking about it before. I have no idea how he cut down to 185 pounds.
I have no idea. And like the stat of him, of what he weighed on fight night on Saturday, of being 238 pounds.
Yeah.
Like what does he walk around at?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, was he cutting like north of 40 pounds to get to 85?
Kind of seems like it. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Cause you look at him and it's not like he's one of those guys where it's a little bit doughy now that he's moved up in weight. He is shredded. I don't know where that 50 pounds is coming off of. Like, obviously it's sucked out of water weight, but I have no idea how he was doing that. So to be, it's 12 fights in and have already be a two division champion and have
in just
beaten,
2 years.
Yeah. Beaten five former champions en route to becoming that champion. And the way he did it was so impressive. Like obviously waving off Herb Dean, like, no, I got this. And then the left hook. And like I said before, just grazed him. Just grazed him. Eyes roll back, down he goes. And then the ground and pound ends it. And then he does the mocking little huh at the end, which was just so, all of it is just so badass, but you could see.
I've already used that GIF three times since the fight.
Oh, it's perfect. It's going to be a gift that keeps on giving for forever. But they mentioned it on the broadcast. You could see the moment where he goes, and we talked before about how people were sleeping on Jamahal Hill.
Yeah.
And then he ends up going to sleep. But people were sleeping on this guy. He has power. He's a little unorthodox. You could see the moment where Pereira's like, oh, he's not it. No, yeah. Okay, I'm fine. And then he just walks right through this guy. It's so interesting when you see that switch flip. It's like, oh, I've got this now.
Yeah.
How different that mood is. But he is, like, technically as a kickboxer, he is so sound. And has he faced a wrestler-heavy run so far? No, of course not. But this has been such a remarkable run. And then he calls out anyone at heavyweight for the next fight.
I was about to say, do you take that call out seriously? Do you think him at heavyweight could be a real possibility?
First of all, I take everything he does seriously. I don't know if he has a funny bone in his body. Yeah, he scares me. And so anything is just yes, sir. And you move on. I would do it if I were them. We talked before, UFC 301, a little light.
Yeah.
A little light. Jose Aldo coming back to fight in Brazil. That's sweet. Co-main event. Come on. So, like, anyone who is a qualified mixed martial artist who happens to weigh between 207 and 266 pounds, just take him. You know, like, I don't, it doesn't need to be a competitive fight. It doesn't need to be a top 10 ranked fighter. I think you build off of this momentum. The guy didn't have a scratch on him. I think the UFC should announce something today. I really do. Like, I know it is a wicked turnaround and all of those sorts of things. A, we've seen it before. B, he was not overly exerted. Like, he put in more work in the walkout than he did actually in the cage. So if he wants it, I honestly think you give it to him. It's a chance again to build up the star, build some momentum off of UFC 300. It would get people talking in a time where it is going to be tough for the UFC to get attention. NHL playoffs are starting.
Yeah.
NBA playoffs are starting. You have the draft. There are a couple of big boxing fights coming up at this time as well. Garcia Haney is this weekend. Munguia and Canelo are coming up Cinco de Mayo weekend. So it's going to be tough to get headlines. UFC light heavyweight champion moves up to his third weight class in 13 fights on 3 weeks' notice would be just like it's star making. And so you can understand there's 100 reasons why you wouldn't. But I think the reasons why you would actually outweigh all of that.
One of the other fights I found super fascinating is actually the first night on the main card. Bo Nickel gets a win over Cody Brundage. And really, this was the first time he was ever really tested. Do you leave that performance more or less confident about him going forward?
About the same.
Okay.
Which I know fence sitting is fantastic from a guest. But he was challenged for the first time, which is great. You need to see that. But it was still, it wasn't overly challenged. It was a guy who was out there to survive, right? Like, Cody Brundage was like, oh, this could be like a life-changing whatever. He was out there to try to hang on, it felt like. And, like, Bo Nickel is still very talented. And if anyone else put on that show, we're talking about the one-sided ass-kicking that this guy just handed out. But because this dude has been winning fights in 33 seconds,
right.
It feels less impactful. But the skills are still there. Like, it's a weird compliment to give someone. He grapples quickly. Right? Like he is very fast on the ground with what he is able to do.
I mean, we all know what his background is, being just an absolutely dominant, you know, traditional amateur wrestler.
Yeah.
So like that shouldn't be a surprise. The thing about Bo for me is that the way that he's adapted to the striking game so well has been the most impressive thing about his growth, yeah. I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like he comes in as a wrestler and to already have that sense of that aspect of the sport is really impressive. So you watch it and you can't help but be impressed. And I'm happy he called out Hernandez after the fight. Just kind of get this ball moving a little bit. Like yeah. he doesn't need a top 15 opponent. Like Khamzat kind of called him out a little bit. That's a step too far.
Can Khamzat even? Oh, yeah. So that fight was at middleweight. Never mind.
Yeah.
He's not making welterweight.
No. He established that. But at middleweight, like Bo just needs to keep moving up, but I think he is ready for significant steps up in competition now, for sure.
One of the last things they announced in the post-fight press conference, Conor McGregor going to be making his return UFC 303 for International Fight Week, taking on Michael Chandler. Your reactions to the news, and do you feel like this is maybe the last stint for Conor McGregor to really try and make one last push for the title? I know that he's never going to go away because he's going to sell tickets, but yeah. You know, at a certain point, he's going to be taken less and less seriously.
I am at that point now. Yeah. Like after the Poirier fights, it was like, okay, this is done. Like he's going to keep fighting. He's going to be in my life for a long time as a mixed martial arts fan, but he's going to go off, make his movies, leave whatever testing pool the UFC goes by, get all of a sudden a little bit bigger and then make his way back. But no, I do not view him as a serious title challenger, whether it be to Leon Edwards at 170 pounds or to Islam Makhachev at 155 pounds, which I don't think he's making.
I can't even
all.
Make 55. I don't think he can make the
no,
weight now.
I don't
this guy
so.
Looks juiced.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That is a very good choice of words for what he looks like. Cause that is, what was the, Joe Rogan's line that he would melt the cup if he did a piss test right now.
Yes.
That kind of is it very much is what it looks like with this guy. So no, he's going to come in. He's going to be able to headline a show. He's basically going to be, Canelo, but Canelo is a unified champion in like 18 different weight classes. So it's not necessarily that, but he is going to be a special attraction guy. He is going to be what Brock Lesnar was.
Mayweather?
Yeah. You know, basically that's what he is. He was what Brock Lesnar was in WWE. Where
like Mayweather fought Berto in his last like true fight before, McGregor, right? Like that those fights weren't for titles. It was just for, here's Floyd Mayweather.
It's just going to be an event. It's going to be, we don't have a title, but we have Conor, so we don't really need to load this one up. We'll put a couple of young guys on this one, so you know who they are coming out of it. And he's going to come out, he's going to run his mouth, probably going to lose, and we're going to forget about him for a little bit, and then he's going to come back, and we're going to be really excited, because we can play the highlight of him knocking out Aldo, and him beating up Eddie Alvarez, and he's going to talk a big game, and then he's going to lose again. Like, I don't have a very high opinion of him as a mixed martial artist anymore. Maybe even less so as a human being. And I don't think you can just pop in and then beat Michael Chandler.
Yeah.
Like, Chandler lives, eats, sleeps, and breathes this stuff, right? So
he's been waiting around for this fight. Like, he's been gearing up for this.
Yeah, and
like,
credit to him, because this is going to be the biggest payday he gets, probably, is headlining with Conor McGregor. And so he has been just focused on one guy for the last, like, 2 years. And you give that guy, that athlete, that amount of time to train and get ready, I think bad things are going to happen to Conor McGregor. So it'll be neat. Like you get, like I said, you see the highlights, you see the press conferences, all of this stuff. But in terms of whether it's overly actionable, it's basically when Strikeforce used to do stuff like this, we called it cotton candy matchmaking, because it tastes fun. It's neat. It's like, oh yeah, cotton candy. You're not full after it. You're not overly satisfied. It just kind of dissolves and goes away. That's Conor McGregor right now.
Well, Pete, it was an awesome weekend of fights, and I appreciate you for sticking around for another 25 minutes or so and chatting this with me, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciated you sticking around and hanging out for an extra 2 hours on Friday and hanging out today. So.
That's all right. It was a lot of fun. But there you go. There's Peter Klein. He joined us for the full 3 hours here on The Big Show. Thanks again to him for sticking around for another 25 minutes to watch recap all the action that went down for UFC 300 live from Las Vegas this past Saturday. Going to hit the break here on The Big Show. Around the corner, going to replay our chat we had with Brent Gunning earlier on today, recapping the Masters and also touching on a little bit of stuff out in Toronto with the Toronto Maple Leafs as they gear up for the playoffs. That's all straight ahead. Keep it locked. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.